What is going on? Welcome back to Not a Podcast. Fun fact, I actually just recorded this entire episode, but the microphone wasn't plugged in, which is just about the biggest rookie move there is, aside from having the lens cap on the camera. But despite that, despite my embarrassment and my shame, we're going to re-record the episode starting now. This is going to be a short message. I'm not going to take up too much of your time. I'm going to try to keep it under 10 minutes, which I failed to do with the last attempt, but we're going to try to do it here again. As you read in the title, which I haven't determined, but I got a guess of what it's going to be, something along the lines of taking control of your mind. We're going to talk about taking control of your mind. And we're going to start by pointing out one of the biggest misconceptions about personal development. And it's when people start out, they try to go from a state of disaster to a state of perfection with a flip of a switch, which is not at all how personal development actually works. It's not how you actually create change and actually rewire your brain to create the results that you want to create. One thing that you have to understand, especially if you're a beginner and you have not had much success transforming your behavior and changing the way that you think, is you didn't get here with a flip of the switch, so you're not going to change it with the flip of a switch. You didn't just go from being some innocent adolescent who had no vices and no addictions and nothing going wrong in their life to flipping the switch and saying, I'm going to be addicted to video games and Netflix and social media and pornography and junk food and all of the vices that a vast majority of young men struggle with. I say young men, but really young people struggle with in 2024. And that's not what happened. What happened was you engaged in it a little bit. You engaged in it a little bit. You liked it. So you engaged in it more. You engaged in it more. And then eventually it turned into a lot of it. And then it became your life. Then you couldn't control it. And so we're going to talk about the realistic way to actually go from that state of being to we're going to start to be able to control these things again. So the first and most important distinction to make when it comes to this is that personal development boils down to, in a nutshell, avoiding the things that are bad for you and engaging with the things that are good for you. But the problem is, when people flip the switch, they try to do both of those things at the exact same time. Now, both of those things can be done at the exact same time, but both of those things do not have to be done at the same time. And they are not the same thing. People think that that is just discipline, that discipline is avoiding the things that are bad for you and engaging with the things that are good for you. And maybe discipline is an umbrella term and both of those things fall underneath it, but those are not the same thing. Avoiding something and engaging with something are two different mechanisms. It takes two different parts of your brain to do those things. To avoid something requires restraint, and to engage with something requires initiative, requires action. Two different things. So let's separate those things. We'll both set them off to the side and we'll say, okay, how do we practice both of these things? And I just want to point out that you can practice one before the other. You can practice impulse control. I would actually recommend, if you struggle, if you really don't have a lot of mental bandwidth to do discipline, I would recommend practicing impulse control. And when I talk about impulse control, what I'm referring to is avoiding the things that are bad for you. Practicing impulse control first. If you're going to do one before the other, again, you can do both of them at the same time. You can train both of these things at the same time. But if you really struggle with it, I would practice impulse control first. Because at least when you practice impulse control, you are stopping the habit of actively sabotaging yourself. So let's dive into that. How do we practice impulse control? First, we have to understand what impulse control is. So impulse control is as it sounds. You have an impulse to do something that is bad for you. And the reason you have that impulse is largely a primal thing. You have the impulse to eat the junk food because junk food hijacks the reward system in your brain that usually is associated with like survival. The reason you got to eat is because you have to survive. But these hyper palatable foods hijack that reward system and tell your brain, oh my God, this is amazing. You're surviving so hard, bro. When in reality, that's not really what's going on. It has nothing to do with survival. It has everything to do with it feels good. It tastes good. I like it. And that's why it's so important to have impulse control and the discipline to say, hey, bro, this isn't about survival. So we're going to regulate our behavior here. So it actually is about survival. So it actually is about long-term benefit instead of just like whatever the primordial monkey part of my brain says it is. The reason you have the impulse to watch pornography, that's a deeper subject probably because there's a lot of, there might be more going on there than just like I'm in the mood for sexual activity. Because a lot of the times when people engage with pornography, especially if they're addicted to it, there's some sense of shame or loneliness associated with that. And they're trying to fill a void in their life with pornography. But let's, for the sake of this conversation, assume that you're just horny. So when the horny feelings start coming, the point of those feelings is because you are incentivized to perpetuate the species. The reason sex feels as good as it does is because it is a reward system for perpetuating the species. But of course, when you're watching pornography and masturbating into a sock, that is not perpetuating the species. That has nothing to do with reproduction. And so you have to use the conscious human part of your brain to say, hey, wait a minute, horny feelings, whatever purpose you think this is about, this ain't what it's about. We have to regulate our behavior and channel that energy into something that is about reproduction so we can use our behaviors appropriately for their intended purpose, which requires impulse control because you're going to have the impulse, right? We all have the impulse. All of us have impulses all the time, multiple times a day. And so how do we build impulse control? Well, we have to put ourselves in that situation where we're going to have the impulse to do something and then being like, hang on, we're practicing this, right? And I would go out of my way to practice it separately from just like saying, I'm not going to watch pornography, which you shouldn't. If you can quit that cold turkey, you should. But let's use a different example. Let's say eating junk food, right? I would go out of my way and take separate time intentionally to make sure that we're practicing this so that when those impulses arrive, you're not just on an island by yourself and you have no specific training of your brain in order to properly control those impulses. So what we're going to do is one of the things that I like to do is intermittent fasting. So you can utilize intermittent fasting as a method of impulse control. There are many benefits to intermittent fasting. You can look them up. I'm not going to list them all here. I largely intermittent fast both as a method of impulse control, but also as a method of like just controlling my calories. Because if I don't eat throughout the day, I can eat larger meals later. I'm more satiated later. I feel good and full while also hitting my goals. And all the while, I don't have to think about food during the day because I'm just focused on whatever I'm focused on. There are benefits beyond that that I'm not going to talk about here. It's not why I do it. But we can utilize intermittent fasting. We're at 9 minutes and 30 seconds, by the way. So we're not keeping this under 10 minutes. We can utilize intermittent fasting as a method to have impulse control, even if it's just by an hour or 2 hours, right? It doesn't have to be a 20-hour fast. It can just be like if you're used to waking up and eating immediately, instead say, I'm going to not eat for 2 hours, or I'm not going to eat for 3 hours, because you're going to have those impulses come into your brain. They're going to say, hey, bro, you got to eat. You got to eat. You're hungry. When in reality, you could not eat for the next week and you'd be totally fine. Like, you're not going to die from not eating for a week. Hunger, whatever your brain says hunger is, if you're a human being that eats every single day, it's not hunger. It's not real hunger. So you're fine. Which means, because you're fine, because it's not actually a life or death scenario, you have an opportunity to practice impulse control. And you should do that intentionally through intermittent fasting. And I'm not saying you have to do a 20-hour fast or one meal a day or restrict your calories. I'm just saying push a meal back earlier in the day. That's going to allow you to have that intentional moment, especially early on in the day, where you are, it's important that it's early on in the day, because you are setting up yourself for success. Because later on down the road, especially if you're after work, in the evening, you're going to start to get those impulses of, this is usually when I engage in video games. This is usually when I engage in pornography. This is usually when I engage in junk food and nighttime eating. You have already trained your brain that day to practice impulse control. And so you're more aware of that fact that when those impulses arrive, you're going to be more prepared to actually keep those at bay. I'm not saying you're going to have 100% success, and that's the point here, by the way. You're not going to have 100% success, like you're not going to flip the switch. But the point is building up the resistance to that impulse. So you start by just saying, every single day, I'm going to go from eating breakfast at 8 o'clock, we're going to do it at 9 o'clock. And we're going to go from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock the week after, and then 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock the week after that. And then beyond that, it's up to you what you want to do. But by then, you should have enough practice with impulse control where you can really start tackling those other problems that you have. Like, instead of coming home and playing video games right away, I'm going to come home and I'm only going to play video games for an hour. I'm going to wait. If I go to bed at 9 o'clock and I usually start playing video games at 5 when I get home, I'm going to wait until 8. So that way, video games are just an hour. That's how you start to build that impulse control. Then it goes from, you know, an hour to 30 minutes to not doing it at all, if that's your thing, or only on the weekends, if that's your thing. You know, I'm not going to tell you what is conducive to your goals, because I don't know your goals. I don't know you. All I know is that if you struggle with impulse control, this is the way to start practicing that. On the flip side, actually, before we go into that, I want to point something out. If you are the type of person that struggles with vice, that struggles with engaging in impulse control, there's a lot of conversation in personal development about all the habits that people need to implement. You have to start journaling. You have to start meditating. You have to start going to the gym. You have to start earthing. You have to start doing cold plunges, cold showers. There's not enough talk about what you need to stop doing. There's not enough talk about disengaging from the bad habits. If all you do in a given day is not do the things that are destroying you, that's a victory in and of itself. That's something to set your hat on for a day. If you really struggle with playing video games and watching Netflix and doing all these things, and that fills up your time, and you just spend a whole day doing anything but those things, maybe you didn't meditate, maybe you didn't journal, maybe you didn't go to the gym, but you didn't do all the things that you've been stuck doing forever, that's a win. That is a legitimate victory for that day. Once you've built up impulse control, and again, I want to reiterate, both of these things can be done at the same time. But if that's really where you're at, and like number one priority is stopping these behaviors, once you've built that up and you have a good momentum going with impulse control, now we talk about the other side, which again can be done in tandem with impulse control, but engaging, actively engaging with positive behaviors. So we talked about avoiding negative behaviors. Now let's talk about engaging positive behaviors. So on one side of the spectrum, you have the pull of a force that you want to engage in that you're resisting. And on the flip side, you have a threshold that you need to cross that you need to like on that you're uncomfortable on the other side, right? So you have a threshold that you need to cross where once you cross it, you are uncomfortable. So let's take going to the gym, for example. So we're going to do the 5-minute rule, right? The 5-minute rule. So for the first week that you want to start engaging in positive behavior, again, you can do your own thing. If you have more discipline than what I'm talking about, do more than what I'm talking about. But if you really, really struggle, do what I'm talking about. 5-minute rule. I'm going to go to the gym for 5 minutes. Whatever, doesn't matter what you do. I'm going to lift weights for 5 minutes. I'm going to run on the treadmill for 5 minutes. I'm going to walk for 5 minutes. The point is, I'm going to go there. I'm going to walk through the door. I'm going to spend 5 minutes doing something. And then I'm going to leave the door open as far as whether I stay or whether I go. You might find that you love it once you start working up a sweat and you want to stay and you want to keep going. But if you don't, you made that deal with yourself. I'm going to go for 5 minutes, then I'm going to leave. Then you're going to do that 7 days consecutively. And then the next week, you're going to do it for 10 minutes. I'm going to go to the gym for 10 minutes. I'm going to run. It doesn't even have to be the gym. It can be any positive behavior. I'm going to engage in this positive behavior, whether it's writing or journaling or meditating or going for a walk or lifting weights or boxing on a heavy bag. I'm going to do it for 10 minutes. And if I want to keep going, I'll keep going. But if I want to stop, I made the deal with myself. 10 minutes, week two. Week three, 15 minutes. And you start building it up that way. And then you start adding behaviors on top of it. Every behavior you add, you can do the same thing. If you're at hour-long workouts and you want to start implementing meditation, if that's your thing, I don't typically meditate. But if you are going to, we're just using that as an example, or it's journaling or whatever. If you want to implement a new habit, I'm going to journal for 5 minutes. I'm going to meditate for 5 minutes. Then I'm going to go do my hour workout that I've been doing because I went through the whole process before with working out. This is how we start to get comfortable passing over that threshold of I'm engaging in a positive behavior. I'm getting uncomfortable for a designated period of time, and then disengaging. And then I'm going to cross that threshold for 10 minutes, twice as long as I did before. Then I'm disengaging. Then I'm going to get in again, 15 minutes, disengage, or stay engaged. It's up to you. This is the antidote to the Monday mentality. The I'm going to go from a state of disarray and destruction and nonsense and chaos to flipping the switch to perfection. We're not doing that. Give up that dream. We're at 18 minutes again. I said I'd keep this under 10 minutes. I'm not going to keep you any longer. That is the podcast for today. We'll see you in the next one.